Not that cricket.
Previously on the Sikander series, on the Clubhouse End podcast.
I went through every stage and it made me appreciative of where I was. And then when I made a promotion from third Alex team to second Alex teams, I enjoyed that. And I was like, you know what, I'm never going back to third. This is much better. When I got picked for the Alex first, then I was like, wow, I mean, I've got some big starts from Zimbabwe playing. There's a lot more learning here. The facilities are better. The standard is good. Okay, I'm not going to the second team. So you start appreciating. But once you pick a guy from club cricket or NPL and back to the national team, he hasn't got much of franchise experience. He hasn't got any academy experience or any A-team experience. And he's national team. So he'd be like, yeah, if I get dropped, I'll go NPL. I mean, I was enjoying there. I'm enjoying here. You don't understand the value of, you know what, I'm actually going to stay here. This is a beautiful place to be at. I'm never going back. So, you know, all those feelings you appreciate when the struggle is real, when you really struggle through every stages and nothing's been given to you that easy, then you tend to appreciate a lot more.
You're listening to the Sikander series on the Clubhouse End podcast.
Hello there and welcome to part three of the Sikander series here on the Clubhouse End podcast. My name is Larry Kwirirai and we've been talking to Sikander Raza, the national T20 captain. In the first two episodes, the first we talked about the pride he wears and when he takes on that Zimbabwe jersey, and then the second part, we're going to the third part today. What would mean the third part already? The second part, we talked about national team selection, just understanding how it works, how he works with the different departments and how they get to pick the national team. In this third part, it gets a bit emotional at times. We talk about taking responsibility, especially being in charge of such a young side, how he feels he needs to help his team for better or for worse, how he sticks by his decisions. And also, remember that decision, the T10, when he retired a player out. He explains what happens there. All this on this particular episode of the Club ASEAN podcast on the Sikander series.
You're listening to the Sikander series on the Clubhouse End podcast.
Okay, so now Raza the captain is captaining over a very young side, as I said. And, you know, some of them that are coming into the team are old enough to be your kids.
Not yet. I think we've got a benchmark. We've got to pick slightly older guys.
So, I mean, how do you manage that? Because it's easy to not realize that sometimes you come from a different generation where things are done differently.
Yeah.
And there are people who are softer. And there are people who are quiet. It's, how do you manage that environment? Because you had been around situations where you were around Hamilton and so forth. Guys would essentially take care of themselves.
Yeah. So I think I agree. And I'm telling you that what I'm seeing is the previous generation that I was with, whether it's Hammy, BT, Wusi, LT, Prosper, Chamu, you know, all these guys that I played with, I think we were the tougher generation. Right now, the generation is slightly softer. So I had to sort of mold my way in a way where I'm very careful of their emotions and I respect it. But also at the same time, try and work out a way how to deal with every single individual differently. And once I've done that, then they would also, when I want to do things my way, then they will follow me. So I have to sort of get their buy-in first before I expect them to buy in what I have to say or what I have to do or how I want to do it. So, but now there aren't many left that I haven't worked with previously. So now it is much easier and much smoother. At first it was tough. I wanted to do things the tougher way sometimes or the harder way or the ways that I was taught by my seniors. But then after, as you said, rightly so, realize that this is a different generation and a different method is required. And but now it's autopilot. Everything runs smoothly now.
But you're also quite an emotional guy yourself.
Yeah, if I have to beat somebody, it will be in the changing room, not on the park.
And, I mean, there was the public one. Ultimately, it turned out to be the right decision at the Zimafro T10. where you made that decision to get someone retired out, that someone would say that took testicular fortitude. Because if that had gone wrong, that's a completely. But what gives you that you know that big time energy to say I'm going to make this decision and I'm going to fall by it? Because that is either you win that or you're gone, essentially almost gone.
Larry, I think that people think that far. I don't. If I feel this is a right decision for my team, had I got out first ball as well, I would still be at peace with that. I felt at that time that our opener was struggling and we were going behind the ball very quickly, and in T10 things happened quickly. So I sent a message out and I stopped watching the game. I was watching the game and I knew that the boy is struggling. If he struggles for another over, the game's out of our hands. Not many coaching staff was in agreement with that decision, but I said, it's okay. I've made that decision and I'm going in. And I went in. I think I got, 38 of 9, something like that. Momentum changed. We won that game, qualified for the playoffs as number 2, and we didn't have to play the eliminator. That means we have more rest. So everything worked out pretty well. But I am telling you, if that hadn't worked out, I would still stand by my decision. It was the right decision. Just because I got out or we didn't win the game doesn't suddenly make that decision was wrong. So yeah, the words you used was used in the changing room quite a lot as well. I'm not going to use that, but yeah, a lot of players and the coaching staff came to me at the back after the game and it says pretty much what you said.
Okay, so but then, you know, is that sort of the thing that you've learned from going around the franchises, or is this just your character?
No, I've learned that. But it's who I am as well. I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but if I think my teammate is struggling, then let me help him out. Not just with the bat, even if we are bowling and I think our bowlers are, okay, let me bowl that 19th over, or let me bowl that crucial over. Okay, let me see if I can bring the game back for my boys. So in batting and in bowling, a lot of these things are, all right, how can I help my teammate? How can I make Zimbabwe go forward? A lot of these things go in my head. It's never about, okay, if I bowl here, wickets or runs, mate. Alhamdulillah, I'm not really too worried about runs and wickets where I am. What we really want is wins for Zimbabwe so that we can take our country to a very respectable place in the log. And I've been in this country for a long time, and I think all our fans are very nice. All they want is to be talked about overseas with respect. Mate, those Zimbabwean boys, they're fans. They back them, support them, and their team plays for them. And my God, look at how well they're doing, and look, they're climbing the ranks. Ultimately, what I have gathered and my understanding is the first thing, when I speak to the fans, the first thing, or probably the most important thing that our fans actually want is people to respect them. And that can only happen when the team does well. So we play for that respect for our country and our fans.
So, I mean, given that scenario, you back yourself in decisions, and sometimes it's in the moment. Are there any regrets for example, you're going very well against Scotland, and then you make that shot? And sure, there's still other people that come in afterwards, so there's still an opportunity for the game to come back. But is that a moment that you say to yourself, look, I could have done this differently?
Every time you get out, you always say, yeah, I could have done it differently. But that's a different statement to do I regret. No, I don't. But if you put me in the same situation, would I do it differently? Yes, I would. I learn my lesson and I move forward. I take those losses quite hard, but I always try and take the valuable lessons from it. And to answer your question, UAE game, when I got a full toss on the pads, yeah, I could have just tucked it around the corner, might have got two. But the thing is, Larry, one thing I figured it out. You know, only those discover the deep seas who have the courage to leave the shore. I would lose a lot more games for my country. Not because I want to, because it will happen, is who I am, how I play. But I would also win games for my country. I refuse to just merely exist, man. Just come, contribute and go. Nah. I try and win the game from any position. When I'm trying to do that, I will make mistakes a lot more than my teammates, probably the most number of mistakes. But for me, it is always the aggressive option, is to take the game forward, is to finish it things like that. So I guess we're going to have a love and hate relation with our fans for a very long time, or for at least for the time frame that I'm playing, that because they expect me to win pretty much every game, but it can't happen. So when I don't do it, they're not happy. So a lot of the abuse that comes my way are not really abuse. It's just emotions because they expected more from me.
Is it because from the fact that you're the biggest player, so the most is expected from you?
I don't know if I am the biggest player, but
you are the most successful T20 player we've ever had, at least that.
I don't know. But yeah, I just think it's not just that. I think I have a special connection with my fans. So I think this thing, or they know me. Like, yeah, don't worry, Raza's our boy, he'll do it. Even though if I've just had a handshake or I've just had a small word with you, I have a very special bond with our fans. Mm. So with what I've done, with what I'm doing and the performances and that bond. So when I'm batting or when I'm bowling, when I'm playing, people are like, yeah, Raza is there, it's okay.
You're quite right, because even when I'm in the crowd, they'll be like, don't worry, Raza is still coming in. When Raza goes, oh, we've lost.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because no one else is going to do it. And it's always that feeling.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I mean, we'll give examples of people like Leanne and so forth that come and sit there and they'll be like, we're here for Raza. And you've got a lot of people that will say, look, there's a sense of hope as long as Raza is still there. I guess it's something that you would say Allah is giving you. It's a responsibility.
Yeah, you can say that.
But I can see from your emotion that's also something that's difficult and weighing down.
It is okay. You set your standards, and sometimes that could backfire as well. So you're a victim of your own standards sometimes. But it's okay. You'd rather be that than have no standards at all. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Castle Corner. What I can remember, the first ever song that came out was Cremora. And then they said, you know, it's a hit. So now each player is starting to get their songs. And our Castle Corner is working tirelessly to have a song for pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. But Cremora came first. That shows you the connection I have with them and they have with me. So, yeah, man. I mean, they expect that. The love, respect, and they feel let down. But I just know that I tried my hardest. It didn't happen. I'll go in the nets, I try to work hard, simplify the game or break it down, who I can target. There's a lot of things I think, man. From an educational, I try and dissect the game in a lot of ways. Sometimes even play the game in my head before the game's actually played. And then when that doesn't happen, I have no regret because I tried everything. So I'll go back, work harder, come back, and inshallah it will happen. If I keep working hard, results will look after itself.
You're one of those people. I remember when we were out in Namibia, took time to speak to the associate players after matches. And you know, any question. I remember you sitting with the boys from Nigeria and you sat with them for an hour, I beg your pardon. And they asked every question they could, and they were just dying to know more. It's something, it gives the impression that associates have a special place in the heart for you.
Yeah, because even though we were a test nation, but don't forget, at one point Zimbabwe also became associate. So, and our journey has been very tough, and I know that from player point of view, life is tough for lower ranked teams from a lot of point of view, not just financial. Facilities, equipment, opportunities, surfaces, grounds. I'm not just talking about Zimbabwe. I'm just talking about general associate world.
I mean, I remember looking at the Gambia match. They didn't even have a medic, and Zimbabwe had to go and help those players playing when they were getting injured.
Yeah, so Machikicho had to help with the physio because they didn't have a physio. Whether he got a visa or not, whether they have a national physio, we don't know. But so life of an associate is tough. So I take a lot of pain for them because I was once in their shoes. So rather than me saying, oh no, I've gone past that stage, we are not the same, what. I am still the same. When I see these boys, it takes me back when I first started and how tough it was. So that's why I'm a very vocal and proud advocate for associate cricket. because people don't understand how tough it is down here. And we are punching above our weight. So every time any country or any opposition have asked me to share time or equipment or anything, if I can give them time, advice, equipment, I am first to say, yes, please, you can have it. And I remember this time as well, Mozambique boys came to me, Gambia boys came to me, Kenyans as well, we had a decent chat with some of them. Seychelles also. Every time I found an opportunity to speak to them, you know, I was there for them.
Is it something that you encourage in the young boys that are coming through the system right now? Because, you know, because it's easy to think you've come into a system that already exists. You've already got test cricket. And, I mean, 10 years ago, Zimbabwe was a lot when you debuted. Like, yeah. 2014, was it?
Yeah, 2013.
So, 2013, yeah. So 11 years ago. So it was a tougher environment for Zimbabwe cricket, and it's a much better environment now. Oh. So a lot of guys are coming in, and it's looking like it's
smooth
been
sail.
Like this. So
it's a smooth sail for them, yeah? Larry, you are spot on. But credit to the players who have been here, who have created that culture and environment in the changing room and in a system. Credit to the current board, the way things have worked slightly smoothly. I'm talking cricket point of view. Larry, I think it is very important because, Larry, it takes me back that a lot of my valuable lessons about cricket came when opposition came and I would go into South Africa changing room and speak to some of them. I would go to Australia changing room after the Australia series when they came and I would have a chat with them. India comes quite often. I would have a chat with them. Pakistan comes often. I would have a chat with their senior guys as well. A lot of the lessons in my cricketing development and growth came from other people experiences. So, you know, that takes me back to those days that if it can help me to grow as a cricketer and as a human being, because those weren't just cricketing chats. They were life chats as well that plays a huge part in becoming a better cricketer. Maybe I can do the same if they are willing to listen or if they come to me and say, these are our questions. So I learned through Zimbabwe by exchanging questions with the opposition when they used to come to us. So it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, man, when I think about it, when we've had the qualifiers, I've learned from the ICC people about how they're doing certain things in terms of media. I've learned from, during the T10, some of the teams, how they, you know, their media teams, how they were covering things. I got some ideas from there. So you're certainly right in that there is that ideas exchange, and they're so willing to share that information.
Yeah, I mean, I have not one experience where I can share where an opposition player refused to share his experience. They have been very kind to Zimbabwe. All those guys that have come to Zimbabwe, they've been very open. We have enjoyed our coffees together. Now the 2 years of Afro has helped as well. A lot of big guys came. We were pretty much not too far away from each other. We sit down for a coffee and have a chat. So, you know, I just want to say that I'm very thankful for every single player in the last 11 years that have been to a country and have given their time to us, including myself and our players. We are all very grateful. The lessons we learn are certainly very valuable.
Certainly there, because when I think about it, sometimes people think that I got wherever I am alone. Like, you know, I just want the whole statement, I pulled myself up on my bootstraps, but you're never going to get anywhere alone. And speaking of that, there is your confidence in Muchawaya and his performance in the T10, even like going into the final over and so forth. Is that a like gut thing or just like, you know what, I'm going to trust you on this?
It was a gut thing as well, but I trusted him as well. So people are very quick to just, in the past it has happened, and some of the captains that I've known is that just because you had a bad over, people are very quick to bin you aside and basically your whole game is done. So I don't operate like that. I mean, I don't leave a guy behind. I don't, when you're down, I don't kick you. I try and find ways to bring you back in the game and give you confidence. So Muchawaya had a poor first over, but in my head, when the crunch time came and we had a spinner of, we had an over of spinner and Muchawaya. I think it was a senior left arm. I think Linde had an over. But for me, it was Muchawaya. Technically, because David Malan was still there. But just the gut feeling that I had that he's bowled well in majority of the game, just because he's had one bad over doesn't mean he's... I'm not going to forget what he's done. So if I'm going to win it, inshallah, I'm going to win it with Muchawaya. And if I lose it, then I lose it with him. It's okay. It's my call.
You're going to after every ball. What are you telling him there?
So you gotta see which message works. Sometimes you give a polite love message, and if the next ball is a rubbish one, then you give him an aggressive one. So you are figuring out which message, because sometimes some boys need tough love and some just need, you know, soft love. So I figured out which sort of a message he needed, and I gave him those messages, and then it was pretty smooth after that.
And for a Zimbabwean doing that, that must give you pride, especially on a home tournament.
Not just pride. I mean, I was incredibly happy for Muchawaya. An emerging guy. People are very quick to forget he's a Zimbabwean, but he's an emerging guy with little to no experience before coming into such a big tournament and bowling the final over of such a big tournament. So I was just happy for him. I mean, it was just an incredible feeling that Muchawaya won it for Bangla.
You're listening to the Sikandar series on the Clubhouse End podcast.
And that's that on episode 3 of the Sikandar series. Very moving. You can see he got emotional from time to time in that particular episode. On the 4th episode, out tomorrow, we will be discussing his test future. Will Sikandar Raza play test cricket for Zimbabwe ever again? All this exclusively on the Sikandar series. Tomorrow, yes, subscribe, and make so that you don't miss an episode. That's the best way to get us out there, to make sure we keep creating episodes. Also, when an episode comes out, you don't miss one. We're available on Spotify, Iona.fm, we are on Apple Podcasts, a whole bunch of places, AfriPods, we're all over the place. So if you want to listen and don't want to miss an episode, just go over there and subscribe. Subscriptions also make sure that we get further. Also, like the episodes, that also helps. It helps a lot. It makes sure that the episodes travel further. Otherwise, get in touch with me on +263 719 903 327. That is our WhatsApp number. Other than that, my name is Larry Quiridai. It's been, this is a 3 Mob Radio production for 3 Men on a Boat. As I say, from where I come from, Asimi Siasebenza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.